You're listening to episode 206 of Women Worldwide. Leaders encourage more human interaction in their organizations today. But how do you build successful teams and positively impact the people around you? Well, I've got a guest with a proven track record in team building, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. We are powering up the voices and sharing the stories of people who are creating impact and making a difference in this world. And I want to go right to our special guest. Of course, she's one more individual that we're adding to our list of incredible professionals with an interesting story to share. And she's got some really good tips and advice, too. Meet Paige Goss. Paige is the CEO and founder of Point Solutions Group. She's an experienced industry executive with a proven track record in operational execution, large enterprise partnerships, and organizational development. And throughout her 10-plus year career in IT services, Paige has been responsible for starting and building teams from scratch in many different disciplines. Her goal is to positively impact the lives of those around her every single day. And you can see this in every aspect of her work, in her innovation, efficiency, and diligence. And she recently earned a spot on Staffing Industry Analysts, SIA, 2018 40 Under 40 list. So I could go on about Paige, but I'm sure you want to hear her story right from her. Paige, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. I am so grateful to talk to you here.
Oh, thank you. And congrats on the award that you just recently received, the 40 Under 40 list. That's fantastic.
Thank you so much. You know, it's been a wild couple years. And, you know, that's a testament to the work that my team is doing here and the impact hopefully we're making in the market.
I love that you just gave credit to your team. That says a lot, you know, about an entrepreneur. And I guess my first question to you is, did you always know that you wanted to be an entrepreneur? And tell us a little bit about how you got to launch your company and become a founder and CEO of Point Solutions Group.
You know, yeah, it's funny you asked that. I did always want to be an entrepreneur. I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. So my parents have businesses. My grandparents have had businesses, my aunts and uncles. And so I grew up in this environment of entrepreneurs. And I think I told my mom at the age of two, maybe, that first I was going to be an astronaut. And then after that, I was going to be an entrepreneur. So we clearly see where I ended, not as an astronaut. But I really did always know that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And I think really it came from, you know, a long time in being in athletics and working with teams. And I knew that my ultimate largest impact would be when I was able to get in front of people and building teams and allowing people to chase dreams that I was able to early on in my career. And, you know, that's really kind of how I got here, and that I took, you know, a role early on in sales. And I knew that I wanted to be in sales of some aspect. And I got into technology basically right out of college. And so I started selling. And then I found an organization that I joined when they were very small. So we were about eight people in the organization and we're more of what you would consider a boutique firm. And throughout my, you know, almost 11 years there, you know, we exploded. So we launched 14 offices across the country. I, wow, you know, was responsible for growing operations from, at the time there were two people: operations, finance, technical support, organizational development, new branch operations, and We ended up growing to just shy of, about 2,500 consultants across the country. And I was really able to be an entrepreneur within that organization. And following that, in April of 17, I decided that the time had come and I was going to take the ultimate leap. And so I launched the firm.
That's awesome. I mean, it's really good to hear that this entrepreneurial spirit was with you even in the beginning of your career before you took that big launch of faith. And that kind of makes me wonder, what do you think are the top characteristics of the entrepreneur? If you're going to tell listeners out there today what they would need to do, what would you say?
You know, I think it takes, if I look back, it's kind of the three G's for me. It takes guts first, to really take that and know, whatever your situation may be, you're not going to pay yourself for a year, or you're going to do it on your own, or you're going to start to build a team, whatever it may be. It takes guts. It's a challenging decision to make, a challenging choice to make. And then it takes the grind. Right. It takes the grind, and it's a daily grind. I'll never forget sitting in my office the first day I launched by myself, staring at a computer screen and wanting to throw up. what did I just do? I left this corporate gig. I at the time had twins on the way. So now I have a family starting, and you've got to be kidding me. What on earth are you doing? So that grind of knowing that it's not going to be
that's
me,
pretty
right?
cold.
it was a quick slap in the face. And then, that grind every day that we talk about, and then, the goals, right? You got to set the goals, and put yourself in a situation, to go chase what you want, and go chase what you know in your gut, you're capable of. So that's kind of what I think it takes to be an entrepreneur of any level, right? Of starting your own firm or taking over a firm or growing into a CEO role. It's those three G's.
Yeah, those are really good, the three G's. Two follow-up questions. First, on the grind. As an entrepreneur, do you feel the grind is the same every day, or you're grinding, but you just never know what you're going to get? So answer that one first, and then I'll ask
you the whole question. It's never the same, because you really don't know, as an entrepreneur, what's going to come your way. And so, you're always grinding. And I think the new business, the sales aspect of your role is the grind every day, right? And that you're grinding. I've got a rule inside my organization that your best customer is the one you're yet to meet. And that really kind of puts you in the right mentality, right? Of you're constantly building your business. You're constantly, putting yourself out in the market and you're really grinding to find the best businesses that not only you can support, but that value and appreciate what you do as an organization. And I think that's been a pretty big transition for myself and our organization over the last 2 years. But then everything else that comes with it, from payroll to HR to finance to chasing down payment to, working with your employees to dealing with customer issues. I mean, that grind is different. And I think that's what, forces entrepreneurs to really be nimble and flexible and think on their feet, is that you really don't know what's coming at you day to day.
It's a lot of grinding, and it's exciting because you just don't know. On the goal question, how realistic do you have to be as an entrepreneur to set your goals? Because we know entrepreneurs, you have to dream big. How do you balance it?
So that I call myself a optimistic realist. I'm optimistic. So I set aggressive goals, but then, I also give myself a plan of action to get there realistically. So I put myself out there in chasing some pretty big contracts, some pretty big opportunities. And I think we're absolutely capable. So if it's us, as a small business going against a large business, I don't shy away from that at all. So from that perspective, I am aggressive. I set large targets. I set aggressive customer initiatives. From the finance side, I'm a little bit more realistic, in that I want to manage my own expectations. Right. I want to try to manage things to where, it's it's pushing us and it's challenging us, but that we're not chasing something that is 10 years down the line, but more so 3 and 5 years down the line is kind of how I think. So I think you've got to be aggressive and you've got to help your team see why those numbers, those goals, those initiatives, that impact is so important. But then I think you have to be realistic about how you get there.
Right. And I think you can. There's so much data and information that can feed you and give you intelligence so that you can kind of, like you said, be the optimistic realist, keep you on track. Interesting. So, you know, we talked about, you just said the three G's to be a successful entrepreneur, and clearly you are successful the way that you've grown your business and what you've been doing. What do you think, if you were going to share biggest challenge or learning moment, what would you tell us?
I'm still in that learning moment. I think we learn every day. You know, somebody once told me, who's a mentor of mine, will forever be, that if you're not growing, you're dying. And so, you know, if you're not growing and learning and challenging yourself as an entrepreneur, your team's likely not doing that either. So I'm still in that phase. I think I will be for as long as I have this business. But you know, my challenge most of the time is getting out of my own way. In that, you know, I started this business, as I told you, from a single office staring at a computer to now, you know, we'll have just shy of 50 people, and we'll hit some amazing revenue numbers as far as growth, about a 400% year-over-year growth from our first year to our second year.
That's great.
And yet, you know, I'm part of the challenge in that, you know, getting other people selling, getting other people in the market, taking the time to, you know, balance my schedule of not only selling myself, meeting with customers, working with customers, but getting my team ready to do the same thing. Because, you know, it's never just you. And so if you think it's just you, you are your biggest challenge. And I certainly have recognized that. So I'm really trying to get more of a market presence with my team, getting more people in the market. And that right now, that's been a pretty sizable challenge in teaching people what I do in the market to support our clients.
But it's great you're taking that time to teach, because it clearly shows that as you learn and grow, and we have to do that as entrepreneurs, it's passing it off to others and setting them up for success is really what you're doing. And taking, you know, you're, in a way, I think getting sort of, you mentioned about stepping out of your own way is also stepping out of your comfort zone too. Do you feel that way?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I could sit here and do all the things that I'm doing now and we would be just fine, but we won't grow. And I don't think I will, and I know that my team that's working as hard as they're working, they're not going to experience the amazing opportunities in front of them if I hold us back from that perspective. So, you know, really getting out of my comfort zone and giving other people opportunities, challenging them, you know, really giving them opportunity to fail. You know, I think that's so much of what I respect about the individual, the CEO I worked for so long, was that, you know, he gave me the opportunity to fail. And I did
a number of times. So you can learn.
Absolutely.
Right?
You know, I call it, you know, if you're going to fall, fall hard, fall fast.
Yeah.
And then get back up. So, you know, getting out of my own way and allowing my team to do that will be critically important.
I love that. So, you know, you keep mentioning teams. And in the intro, we even talked about how you've always been building teams, multiple discipline. You want to positively impact the lives of everybody around you. So how do you actually build a successful team?
I think that's a multi-million dollar question. I think all
I
of us have,
I think all of us give that advice. Listeners are waiting on you every
week. Absolutely. So, you know, I think first it's understanding what are you really looking for? And I haven't done a perfect job of this, and not even close. But I think a lot of times, and this is where we actually help customers as well, is looking at, you know, what are you ultimately trying to accomplish and what skill sets are needed? Sure, right? But what mentality, what attitude, what drivers, what behaviors are needed? And then after we kind of figure that out, we work backwards into understanding what's the current team have, where are their gaps, and wherever those gaps are we seeing gaps in skill set? Are we seeing gaps in capability? Are we seeing gaps in mentality and behavior? And as we look at that, then that's what we go try to find. And that's how we round out the team. And for me, you know, we have a flair on this that's diversity, right? We try to bring a significant amount of diversity into technology where there's not traditionally been diversity in leadership, and then diversity, you know, in your non-traditional skill sets or in roles. And I think that's critically important. But ultimately, for me, it's looking at it holistically, right? What are we trying to accomplish? And then working backwards and not just looking at skills. We can teach a lot of skills. A lot of times it's the behaviors, the mentality, the attitude that we can't teach, that's ultimately what we're looking for to build out our team.
Yeah, I like the way you sort of look at the skill sets, the drivers, the behaviors, and then where are the gaps? And you're really capitalizing on what your current team has and inserting what's needed or what's new in maybe a new team member or making some kind of shift to make the team stronger. Are you seeing, with respect to diversity, being in IT services for so long, are you seeing a lot more women who are in this area, let's say, than maybe 10 years ago?
Oh, I mean, 10 years ago, absolutely. You know, I tell a lot of people, my customers always ask me, you know, well, what do we do to change it? And it's not something that we can snap our fingers and it's just an overnight change. It's a step-by-step initiative. And I feel that way about business, right? Building business. If you set these crazy goals, I'm going to be a $100 million company. That's amazing. But step-by-step, how are we going to get there? Another mentor of mine said, you know, nothing starts without a plan and nothing ever goes to plan. So, you know, you have to set that plan and in those goals. I feel the same way about increasing diversity and diversity on multiple levels, right? Inside of technology and inside of leadership, you know, women business owners, successful women business owners. So I think it's a step-by-step process. And the more women see other women doing it and lifting them up and, you know, reaching back and helping pull them up the staircase, the better we will all be.
More role models.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That you make a really good point. I want to go back to the teams and your organization. How important is company culture? And if you were going to share about the company culture at your organization, how would you characterize it?
I think culture is everything. I learned this from my past organization and what we did to focus on people. And I think people create culture.
Yes.
So if you're looking at the culture of your organization, I think it's the single most important aspect of a CEO's role. And our culture here is shifting, to be transparent, and that, you know, we're going to continue to shift from a, you know, younger company, a younger organization to a growing, thriving, challenging organization. And with that comes a culture shift. And I think that comes again from the people that you hire, the gaps you see in your team to help you continue to create the culture that you envision. But it is a critical component, I think, to bringing in the right individuals and to growing the type of organization that makes you proud. And in the culture here at Point Solutions Group, I think is just that, and that, you know, we're building kind of an all hands on deck type of culture. That's how I am as an individual. And I think culture also follows the CEO and the leadership team. And so really kind of everybody digging in to make every single person around them better. And if we do that in small incremental steps, as I said earlier, the culture will be amazing and the organization will be unbelievably successful.
Absolutely. I mean, it is all about the people. And like you said, the people create the culture. But you made a really good point about the executives. If the executives are not embracing their own culture, then it's really, there's a big disconnect. And you made a point about the CEO, where culture is the single most important aspect. Do you think that most CEOs out there realize this by now in business?
You know, I think a lot of them do. I think we've seen, you know, instance and case after case of success around CEOs building great cultures, and then behind it builds great companies. And so, you know, I think that where we may not truly understand the overall impact that we have on culture as a CEO, right, is that the depth, the layers that we impact that by who we hire and what we do and how our teams follow us. So I think, you know, we still have a ways to go as entrepreneurs and as CEOs of really understanding the level in which we influence the culture of our organizations.
Yeah, I love that. There's still a ways to go, but you know what? You're all in it together. So culture can go far. Paige, I'm just going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to take a super quick break to give some love to our sponsor, Pure Performance Communications. And when we get back, we'll dive more into what Paige is doing and her work and her business.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Yesterday's techniques won't work. Today, you have an opportunity to expand your communications approach with fresh, creative, and effective ways to power up your brand voice through new channels and to interact with more value and meaning. Pure Performance Communications will work with you to move audiences from awareness to action and impact. You'll foster greater engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Let us help you uncover what's holding you back and help you to carve out a marketing PR roadmap to success. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com. Now back to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. Paige Goss, CEO of Point Solutions Group, and I were just chatting about her work, her business, challenges, culture, and building successful teams. So Paige, we're going to dive back in, and I think focus is now on you as a leader in business. And we did touch upon some of the challenges, but let's hear a little bit about where you feel your strengths are as a leader, or maybe even what you feel the strengths of a leader in general should be. And then if you don't mind, share some of your weaknesses.
Yeah, absolutely. I was hoping we would avoid this topic.
I know. I can't
absolutely
do it.
So, you know, I think as any leader, you know, you set the vision of the organization. And I think a lot of times, and I saw this as I was starting in my career with another entrepreneurial organization, is that vision can shift. That vision can change and will grow as the company grows. And so I think, you know, constantly having that in front of your team, reiterating who you are as a company, who you want to be in the market, and what problem do you solve in the market for your customers, it is really important as a leader. Too often we just kind of get into the grind and forget to pick our heads up every once in a while and really share our vision in some areas that are important to us as entrepreneurs and CEOs. So I think I've done a decent job of that as the organization has continued to morph into what I envision it to be. I think another large strength of mine is really getting out into the market, meeting people, understanding their organizations, understanding their challenges, in fitting, you know, what we do into those challenges. I believe I have a gift in helping other people understand what's possible, and that the more often you put yourself out there, the more you challenge yourself, you know, to one of the comments earlier, getting outside of your comfort zone, my comfort zone included, that we actually accomplish way more than we ever think we're capable of. So I think I have the ability to really build people up in that capacity and allow them to do things they never thought were possible. You know, and then I'm a grinder, I'm a competitor. And so I want to win. You know, I grew up playing sports. And so that desire to win and compete and be the best, I think, you know, is one of my strengths. But it's also one of the things that's a pretty big challenge of mine, and that I forget often to you know, give myself a break.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sometimes when you are that competitive, it could work to become a weakness.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, we have I've probably been provided this feedback for my entire career, is that, you know, you can't you know, when somebody else is chasing their dream, don't take everything else and try to do it yourself. And, you know, I've too often tried to do everything myself. In, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's I want them to focus on something else, or I want them to, you know, engage in another aspect of the business, or whatever it may be, I too often take a lot on my shoulders and think it's my own responsibility, where if I probably asked for help a little bit more often, we'd probably be further along in our journey. So, you know, that's a weakness of mine for sure that I'm challenging myself with every day. You know, and then I think the other sizable weakness that I have is really, you know, thinking that I have some limitations when I probably don't. In that, you know, I put some limitations on myself. Well, they don't think that I'm not capable, or, you know, having those underlying, you know, fears of what if they find out that I really don't know what I'm doing.
As an entrepreneur.
Yeah. You know, what if they call me out on that it's, you know, ridiculous what I think. So, you know, those types of fears and limitations that I put on myself can be pretty trapping sometimes. And I think, you know, the more as entrepreneurs and CEOs that we kind of see what we're capable of and continue to push ourselves, getting, you know, trying to let go of some of those fears, the more impact we will ultimately have.
Thank you for sharing the strengths, but the weaknesses. And, you know, I believe that CEOs should be able to be vulnerable, be human, and you are very human with what you just shared. I have two follow-up questions. The first one, when you were talking about strength and setting the vision and really kind of constantly updating what needs to be updated, probably based on what's going on in the landscape and getting that in front of your people, I would think that communication would be something that CEOs would need, especially if they're communicating your vision. So how important do you think communication is to a leader?
I think it's critical. And I think there's some times that we make mistakes as CEOs, myself included, in that, you know, we get into the grind and we get into doing what we're doing. Our, you know, office doors are shut, or we're on the road, or whatever it may be. And we forget to communicate consistently to our teams. And, you know, so I've had some times where I look back, I was like, did I not share that with you? Did I not talk about that? Did we not follow up on that? And that's completely on me as a not only as a leader, but, you know, I'm in a role as a manager as well, right? And setting those expectations and following up and making sure that that I'm communicating what's needed to for them to be successful, for ultimately the company to be successful. So I think it's critical. And we sometimes as CEOs get stuck in what we're doing and forget to communicate. I hear it too often where people share with me that they had a one-on-one with their manager every, you know, quarter or every 6 months. And so I try to combat that by going above and beyond and communicating with my team. So we have biweekly one-on-ones.
Oh, wow.
And that may seem like a lot to a lot of people, but as fast as our organization is growing, as fast as things change within the day-to-day responsibilities, it's critical for me to meet with them every 2 weeks, or else, you know, a month, so much has changed that we're talking about things that are irrelevant at that point. So I think to your question, communication and over communicating with expectations and follow up and follow through is critical.
Excellent. I also wanted to follow up when you were talking about asking for help. Do you think in general that, you know, the higher you get up in the company, so certainly you're CEO, that it gets harder to ask for help, or because you have teams that you're trusting, it actually gets easier?
I think it's a combination of the two, depending on the people around you. You know, it goes back to what gaps are there. Do you have people that you trust? Do you have people that are capable of doing what you need them to do? And so I think asking on some levels, it gets easier. I think at the core, CEOs have a challenge asking for help because then they're being vulnerable. It can appear as if they don't know what they're doing. It can appear as if they're not capable, or they're not willing to do something themselves. And, you know, I've told my team, I'll never ask you to do something I myself wouldn't do. And that's absolutely true. And I followed that in my entire career. But asking them for help to do things that maybe they are better at. It's better for them to do than for me. It's, you know, an opportunity for them to grow. That's where I think myself and a lot of CEOs need to continue to ask for help and feel comfortable and confident that you're asking for help for the right reasons and for the opportunity for people around you to step up.
You just said something that sparked another question in my mind. Feeling comfortable, competent, you know, you mentioned the communication, how you have biweekly one-on-ones. There's stress to all this, you know, no matter what you do, how much you communicate, how much you find the gaps within your teams. How do you handle stress? Like, what does a stressful day look like? What are some of your tips or stress busters, if you could share?
Yeah, am I allowed to say drink wine?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, no, I think, yeah, it sounds great, right? And a lot of people from the outside looking in at what would be successful entrepreneurs are like, oh, you got it all. I don't. You know, I go home at night and thank God my wife is amazing and is the best support. She's my biggest fan and also, you know, the one that brings me right back down to reality pretty quickly. So, you know, I think there's, you know, with stress, it's I do exercise. I do, you know, write. Excuse me, and do drink some wine every once in a while. But I think you got to step back and really continuously look at what are you trying to accomplish. And you know, I had a woman tell me once, you know, you're right where you're at. Start where you are. What can you do today? Right? What can be done today? If you look at what you have to do in 5, 6, 7 weeks or 5, 6, 7 days for that matter, that's when I think things become unbelievably overwhelming as a CEO. And so, you know, you looking at it as, you know, I'm a big proponent of the language you use with yourself. So I get to do this. I don't have to. So I get to have these one-on-ones, right? I don't have to have them.
It's an opportunity.
Absolutely. So start where you are. Do what you can do for that day. What needs to be done that day, and take things as they come. And I think that really helps you to prioritize, and it helps you to get back to, hey, I am where I am today. And without, you know, accomplishing today's tasks, tomorrow's will ultimately not be there. So I got to do what I need to do today. That's kind of my biggest stress release, is that I try to take a step back and start where I am.
That's really good, because that means you're present. And I know somewhere along the line, I'm not sure which guest on Women Worldwide said this, but it's almost like 80% of your day or your time should be spent present. 10% maybe thinking about past and learning, and 10% future. So just with what you said, you know, start with what can be done today. That is really present in the moment, and you can address the things that need to be addressed rather than shooting out 7 weeks, 10 weeks, 2 months.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I think your team follows that, right? If they see you in the moment working on today's initiatives, they tend to follow that as well, and don't get themselves overwhelmed or too future thinking where they become paralyzed.
Yeah, I think teams feed on the energy that they're given. So if you've got a CEO who is extremely stressed out, high strung, running around with like a, you know, that they don't know what's going on, that is going to trickle down to everyone on the team.
Yeah, and it does. I'm certainly guilty of that, and that, you know, I
can't be perfect.
No, and you know, when you're running around and your hair sometimes is on fire, literally, and your team recognizes that, right? So that's, you know, when I think there's an opportunity to ask for help and to be realistic about what things are. I too often think CEOs try to shield too much from their teams. And I'm a very open person. So if there's a lot going on, I'm going to tell my team, hey, there's a lot going on. This is what I'm focusing on right now. And this is where we're at. And this is what needs my attention, so that they get a glimpse into what, you know, I'm working on and what I'm focusing on as well. I think that's the human aspect of, you know, that,
sure,
that we're trying to do the best we can, and but we don't always get it right. And so the teams see that, they feel that. And so I think being open and honest about it is important.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a release for you. When you're able to share what's actually going on, it makes you feel a little bit better. Nobody wants to be in it alone. You know, there's shared responsibility and you probably feel like you're getting the help that you need. So I wonder, you know, entrepreneurs definitely have to build relationships. Are you, for their business, I mean, it's so important. Are you out there, you know, networking in person? Are you online? What's your networking look?
Yeah, I'm out in the market as often as I can be. I'll tell you, this is pretty crazy. And when I started the business, I moved from Raleigh, North Carolina to Denver, Colorado. And I think I shared earlier, we were expecting twins and I did not know a single person in a market where I had just launched a business. And so networking, building my personal brand, building the company brand was going to be a matter of we will succeed or we won't based off of how I get out into the market. And so early on, I did a ton of it. And now as we're growing and a lot of our business is coming from, you know, referrals and you know, relationships I built a year and a half ago, you know, I can sometimes get a little lazy, honestly, in that I'm not out in the market as much as I'd like to be. Because again, back to my point of, you know, your best customer is the one you've yet to meet kind of mentality. You know, constantly being out there, I think, is important. So I've started back into networking and speaking actually at a number of events and,
oh, that's great.
You know, working to continue to build my CEO network, because I think too often CEOs, again, try to go at it alone, and having other CEOs to bounce ideas off of and talk and, you know, say, hey, you know, this is something that, you know, my spouse or my team just doesn't get or doesn't want to hear or whatever it may be. That I think that's important. So I'm kind of doing a combination of networking for new business and, you know, building that relationship base, but also the CEO base in the market to really have a good peer group.
Yeah, that's great. And do you feel like online is helping you? I mean, are you using any kind of communities to meet people? Are you on LinkedIn? Or do you think that, you know, there's other places where you're connecting with like-minded professionals, entrepreneurs, CEOs?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn. I do a ton of work on LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn's an amazing platform for connections. I also, as far as other communities within an online group, I don't do a ton of online. I obviously listen to podcasts when I can and connect with other CEOs through that medium. But, you know, really, I think that me in person, I love to meet people and understand their stories. So being face to face, I just get so much more joy out of it. So that's kind of my my preference. But I do also love to connect with people. And then, you know, most of the time what happens, I connect with them on LinkedIn and then inevitably we're at the same event or we're going to the same location and we could actually meet up. And so I think that's a good way to start the relationship.
Definitely. I always say that about social media. It's a great place to meet. You can learn about people. But then once you meet them in person, it's so much better. Are you, you know, we talked about learning, and if you're learning, then you're sort of transferring that to your team. You know, you did mention podcasts. So is learning for the CEO of a company or an entrepreneur the podcast you're listening to, the people you're connecting with, or is it more about, I've got to take these continuing education courses, I'm going to go take a Coursera course online? Like, what does learning mean to you at this stage?
Yeah, so you know, I think it depends on your business, right? I think there's some businesses where, you know, the courses, the further, you know, the technical education, the technical certifications, whatever that may be, can be a critical component to learning and growing. For me, it's really, you know, fine tuning my skills, fine tuning what I'm good at, and then, you know, finding other areas to add people and process where I'm not good at it. And so for me, learning is, you know, just kind of constantly tweaking things that I probably already know, but need either a slap in the face or a quick refresh. So I think it's the people you surround yourself with. I think it's what you listen to, what you read. I think you need a little bit of everything. To, you know, one thing sticks and you're better, right? So if you're, again, I said earlier, if you're just a little bit better every day, the impact that you have will be tremendous.
Excellent. And maybe just as some kind of parting advice to round out the show, what advice can you give to other entrepreneurs and business professionals about reaching their goals and pursuing their dreams?
Go for it. I think too often we become paralyzed in the thinking, what if we fail or what if I'm not good at it? I would tell anybody that was thinking about it to go for it. You never know what you're capable of until you put yourself in that situation. And then, you know, the other piece of it is, you know, find somebody that can support you along that journey. It's not easy. It's hard. It's the hardest thing I've ever done outside of raising 15-month-old twins.
That's got to be hard, Paige.
It's insane. But, you know, go for it. And you know, what comes out of the backside is amazing. And that if there's anybody out there that's listening that is thinking about it, I would say to get vulnerable, get real, and go for it.
Spoken like a true entrepreneur and CEO of a company. Last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and your business?
Yeah, so website is pointsolutionsus.com. I've got a link on there to all of my contact information. I'm on social media, companies on social media. I would love to talk with anybody, not only about their business, how I can help, how I can support their journey inside or outside of being their own CEO or being an entrepreneur. I love seeing people chase amazing dreams and, again, doing what they didn't think was possible.
That's what we love about you, Paige. Thank you so much for your time, your insights, all of your advice, everything that you shared with us today.
Thank you so very much for having me. I am extremely grateful.
Well, it was such a pleasure to chat with you. And I want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Thanks for listening, for sharing, for powering up the voices of incredible guests like Paige, and for tuning in every single week. So please keep your comments coming. Give us that shout out on Twitter or Facebook. Rate us on iTunes. We love to hear what you're thinking. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered.